Ever get the feeling that our usual way of thinking about time, you know, as this straight line from past to present to future, is maybe, I don't know.
A little too simplistic.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's got to be something more to it, right?
Well, you're not alone. It's a question that's, well, it's a question that's kind of plagued philosophers and physicists for centuries, really.
So true. And get this, in this deep dive, we're going to tackle that very question head on. We're going to be diving into this wild theoretical framework called the Noelian universe. It's actually laid out in this, well, I guess you'd call it a fictional text called A Universe Beyond Comprehension. And let me tell you, some of the stuff in here, the imagery, it's really next level.
Yeah, it's pretty out there. The Noelian universe, it's actually the brainchild of this fictional character, David Noel Lynch. He's a 20th century artist, at least in the story, and he describes himself as schizophrenic.
Whoa.
Yeah. And what's really interesting is that even though this is all fictional, the way it mixes together, like blends science and philosophy, it's actually, I don't know, surprisingly thought-provoking, I'd say.
Okay, so, like, how does this whole Noelian universe even work? I mean, where do we even start trying to unpack this thing?
Well, the excerpt we're looking at, it focuses on this visual representation of the theory. They call it the Noelian number line.
Okay.
Now, stick with me here. Imagine, like, picture a number line in your head, right?
Mm-hmm.
But instead of just being this single straight line, it's got three dimensions. Like, think of it like a 3D model or something.
A 3D number line. Okay, I think my brain's trying to keep up.
Yeah, it's not your typical, you know, linear way of thinking about time, that's for sure.
Not at all. So if it's three-dimensional, what do those three axes actually represent?
Okay, so the x-axis, that still represents time, but not time as this, like, rigid, fixed thing.
Yeah.
In this model, time is this, like, constantly shifting interplay between particles and waves.
Interesting.
And then you've got the y-axis, and that one dives into the duality of our existence. You know, it grapples with the interplay between what's objective and what's subjective, mm-hmm. the tangible and intangible, the seen and unseen, all those big questions.
Okay, hold on. Let me see if I'm following you. So the x-axis is saying that sometimes time flows smoothly, kind of like particles moving along in a stream, but then sometimes it can have these, like, choppy wave-like shifts. Is that right?
Exactly. You're getting it.
And then the y-axis is tackling those big, almost philosophical questions about reality itself. Like, how much of what we experience is actually real versus just our own, like, subjective interpretation?
You're picking it up quickly. Now, the z-axis, that one's all about the cyclical nature of time.
Yeah.
It suggests that maybe the past isn't really gone. You know, maybe it's more like it's echoing back, or maybe even, like, influencing the future, which then kind of collapses back into the past.
Whoa.
It's like, think about ripples on a pond.
So it's not even a line at that point, really. It's more like this constant dance between past, present, and future, all kind of intertwined.
Right.
I'm starting to see why they call this a whole universe on its own. Okay, so we've got this three-dimensional model of time, and then within that, the text lays out these three different realms of space. There's inner space, outer space, and the instant.
You got it. Inner space, that's described as this realm of, like, infinite depth. It's where particles first emerge, and these particles, they carry these, like, whispers of ancient memories. But get this, their movement, it's governed by what the story calls Noel's paradoxical logic.
Noel's paradoxical logic. Okay, now you're just messing with me.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
See, this paradoxical logic, it suggests that in this realm, in inner space, things can exist in contradiction. Like, something can be true and false at the same time, and it's not a problem. Imagine, like, a realm where opposites, they aren't mutually exclusive, they can actually coexist.
So it's like the very laws of logic are different in this inner space. What we consider impossible is just par for the course.
Exactly.
Wild. So if inner space is like this realm of pure potential where anything's possible, what about outer space? I mean, we're talking about this Noelian universe, not, like, you know, actual outer space with stars and planets.
Right. Outer space in this framework, it's not about galaxies and stuff like that. Here, it's this limitless expanse of pure energy. It's where the waves, remember we're talking about waves and particles?
Right. Yeah.
It's where those waves, they begin to collapse inward. It's like destinies are being etched into the very fabric of space-time itself.
So if inner space is all about potential, all these possibilities just swirling around, then outer space is where those possibilities begin to solidify, become more concrete, right? Like two sides of the same coin.
That is a great way to put it.
And then, of course, we've got that third realm, the instant. That's where inner space and outer space collide, right?
Head-on collision. The instant is like this constantly shifting razor's edge where those two realms are constantly clashing, emerging. Imagine, like, particles surging up from the depths of inner space, while these waves come crashing down from outer space, and where they meet, boom, they clash and merge, and that's what creates what we perceive as reality.
So the instant, it's almost like this ultimate balancing act, this constant meeting point between past and future, always in flux.
And the story uses a very specific word to describe this bridge between the realms, this point of contact.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
The crack.
The crack. Okay, that sounds kind of intense. What's that supposed to symbolize?
Well, I think using the word crack suggests a certain, well, instability, you know, like a vulnerability where these realms intersect. It could be like a sudden shift, a jarring transition, a brief glimpse behind the curtain of our everyday perception.
Okay, so let me get this straight. We've got these three realms, this inner space, outer space, and the instant, and they're all colliding at this, like, cosmic crack. It's a lot to wrap my head around. But then on top of all that, we've got these Noelian solitons to contend with. What exactly are they?
So picture this. Out of this chaotic clash of particles and waves at the crack, these three distinct entities emerge. We call them the Noelian solitons. Each one kind of embodies a different aspect of this dynamic, ever-evolving universe the text is describing.
Okay, so walk me through it. What are these solitons all about?
All right, so first up, you've got the soliton of control. This one embodies order, structure, predictability. It's like the realm of science, where cause and effect seem to be running the show. You know, within this realm, we can measure things, quantify them, even make predictions with, well, a certain degree of certainty, at least.
So the soliton of control, it's like the architect of the universe, the one making sure things are, you know, generally running according to plan.
That's a good way to put it. It's the force that, like, keeps the planets in orbit, the one that governs the laws of physics, at least as far as we understand them right now.
But if there's a soliton of control, there's got to be some kind of counterbalance, right? Like an equal and opposite force at play.
You got it. That's where the soliton of chaos comes in. This is the embodiment of everything unpredictable, the unknowable. This is where we find all the infinite possibilities of the universe just waiting to, well, explode. It's the force of randomness, of chance encounters, of those, like, moments that seem to just come out of nowhere.
You know, it's like that saying, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans, right? That sounds a lot like the soliton of chaos at work to me.
Perfect example. The soliton of chaos reminds us that no matter how hard we try to control things, to impose order, there's always going to be those elements of randomness, of unpredictability. And you know what? It's often in those chaotic moments that the most interesting, the most unexpected breakthroughs occur.
This is making me think about those moments in scientific discovery, you know, where a mistake or even just a total accident ends up leading to some huge leap forward, almost like the soliton of chaos just kind of nudged things in a new direction. But hold on, we've got three solitons, right? What about that third one?
Yes, the soliton of the instant. This one is the most difficult to really grasp. But imagine, if you will, a spark of pure awareness, a fleeting glimpse where, just for a moment, the subjective and the objective, they become one. That's the realm of the soliton of the instant, the pure experience of now, totally unburdened by the past or the future.
Okay, I'm trying to wrap my head around this one. So would it be fair to say that the soliton of the instant, it's not so much about a tangible thing, but more about a state of being?
You got it. It's that state of flow, of being completely immersed in the here and now, completely present.
It's interesting, though, how the text uses this example of a 1,000-year-old chair to try to illustrate these, well, these very abstract concepts. Can you unpack that for me a little?
Sure. So the chair, in this context, it becomes this tangible representation of the Noelian dance we've been talking about. It's like a physical embodiment of the interplay between the solitons, of the passage of time itself.
Okay, I'm intrigued. So how does a simple chair, something we see every day, how does that reflect these, like, cosmic forces?
All right, so the text starts by discussing the chair's origin as a seed back in inner space. That seed, driven by those primal forces of nature, it represents the realm of the particle, of the past, of the raw materials of existence. It's the soliton of chaos at work, all that raw potential just waiting to emerge.
It's kind of mind-blowing when you think about it that something as ordinary as a chair has this, like, hidden depth to it, this connection to the universe's raw potential.
Exactly. But then, as the chair begins to take shape, as the craftsman starts to impose his will onto the wood, that's when we see the soliton of control start to exert its influence. The craftsman's vision, his skill, All of that represents those collapsing waves of possibility we were talking about, the imposition of order onto chaos.
So the chair goes from this state of pure potentiality, of anything being possible, to something more defined, more structured. It's like the soliton of control is refining that raw energy of the soliton of chaos.
Precisely. And it's in the finished chair, the chair as it exists right now, in this moment, that we see the convergence of all those forces, the past and the present, the chaos and the control, all coexisting in this single fleeting instant. And that, my friend, is the soliton of the instant at play.
It's incredible how the text takes something so, well, ordinary and reveals this incredible depth to it, this cosmic dance that's always happening all around us, even in the most mundane objects.
It really challenges us to reconsider our relationship with the world around us, doesn't it? It's like an invitation to look beyond the surface, to try and recognize this intricate interplay of forces in absolutely everything we encounter.
This is really making me look at things differently. I mean, everything.
And that's the power of the Noelian universe. It's not about giving us all the answers. It's more about giving us a new lens to view reality through. It invites us to embrace the mystery, the complexity, the interconnectedness of it all.
It's strange. You know, when we started this deep dive, I thought we were just going to be exploring some, you know, out there fictional concept.
Which, to be fair, we are.
Right. Of course. But the thing is, this Noelian universe, even though it's made up, it's really got me thinking about, well, about the real world in a whole new way. The everyday stuff just seems different now.
That's exactly the point, isn't it? The text doesn't want us to take the Noelian universe literally. It's more like it's giving us a new tool to, like, expand our perspective, to see those extraordinary things hidden within the ordinary.
So instead of looking for those concrete answers, it's more about asking the right questions, shifting our perspective.
Exactly. In fact, the text even hints at this idea that within this framework, within this Noelian universe, there are just some inherent limits to what we can ever fully understand. It's kind of like there's this parallel to Gödel's incompleteness theorems in mathematics.
Gödel's incompleteness theorems. It's been a while. Remind me about those.
Oh, right. Well, basically, those theorems prove that in any formal system, like mathematics, for example, there will always be these true statements that you can't actually prove within that system itself.
So even with a system as, I don't know, as complex and as well-defined as this Noelian universe, we still have to make room for the unknown, the things we just can't explain away.
Exactly. And the text suggests that embracing that mystery, that's crucial. It's a reminder to stay humble, to remain open to those new possibilities, to accept that the universe is just far stranger and more, well, more wondrous than we could probably ever fully grasp.
You know, I really like that idea. It's like the Noelian universe, it gives us this framework for understanding, but it's also comfortable with the fact that there will always be those things that just exist beyond our current understanding.
And I think that's what makes it so fascinating. It's not trying to shut down the mystery or define everything neatly. It leaves space for wonder, for that awe-inspiring mystery that surrounds us.
Well said. So as we come to the end of this deep dive, what's the one big takeaway you hope our listeners are left with from the Noelian universe?
I'd say if you could just take a moment, look around at your world through this lens, through this idea of three-dimensional time, through the interplay of chaos and control, really feeling the weight of the instant. What would you see? What new perspectives would open up to you? Would it change the way you interact with your everyday life, the people you meet? Even the chair you're sitting on.
It's a challenge, isn't it? To see that extraordinary hidden within the ordinary, to embrace that mystery, to never stop questioning. Well, to our listeners, we hope this deep dive has given you a new lens to view your world through, a lens that reveals all those hidden depths, those unexpected connections that make up the fabric of our existence. Until next time, keep exploring.